As I was getting ready for this message tonight, I at the beginning of the month, I saw that I was scheduled to speak on it. And immediately something hit my heart that I've just been dwelling upon a little bit extra in the last few months. And in all transparency, I've been asked to substitute in one of the classes in RBTC, and I had talked about love and about the blood covenant, but the main part of it being the love aspect of it. So I was thinking about that, and I saw that I was scheduled, and I thought, that's a perfect opportunity to talk about love. And then within 5 seconds, I thought, man, that's hokey. It's still February. They're thinking I'm at Valentine's Day, and I'm talking about love because Valentine's Day. I did speak a message several years ago called God is My Valentine, but that's not what you're going to get tonight. But I thought, the more I thought about it, and I thought, if it's on my heart, and then I prayed about it, and I thought, you know what, that's what God wants me to speak about. And then as we were going through Winter Bible Seminar, I heard messages with the trace of love. And every time the speaker started speaking about love, I'm like, really? They got my message. And a couple of my scriptures were mentioned, but I thought, you know what? If God has that many people speaking about love, then there's something that we need to get out of it. There's something that we need to hear about it. So I really don't have a series of three or four points and a perfect close to the message tonight. I'm just going to speak from my heart, and I'm going to continue to speak about love. And the reason I think we need to do this is in today's society, we have many opportunities to not walk in love, right? We have everything that's going on in the world. We have the political scene, everything that's going on in the politics. We have the media pushing everything one way, or they're pushing it to the opposite side on the other way. And my goodness, do I even want to mention social media? Okay, I was going to say there's nothing wrong with it. There is a good platform for social media, I'm sure. But it seems like a lot of people use social media to moan, groan, gripe, and complain. And I think that we should probably consider love as we go through things like this. Now, I'm not going to talk about you guys tonight. I'm going to talk about myself, okay? And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how learning to walk in love has affected me. But let's start out by going to John 3:16. I mean, how can we talk about love and not use this scripture? So in John 3:16, in the New King James, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, that right there to me is a perfect scripture to set up for the blood covenant. Because what's happening is God's giving something. He's given his Son, Jesus Christ. We're giving something. We're giving our pledge, our promise to give our life to God, to let him control our life, so to speak. Okay? To follow the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And in return, we'll get everlasting love or everlasting life. But, you know, there's a reason why that covenant was set. And it's the first part of the scripture, "For God so loved the world." And that's the only purpose for that covenant. You see, God created and established a blood covenant with us because he loves us dearly. And I'm not going to go into the details of a blood covenant and how it works and then how you set it up. But everything there is about a covenant, let's just agree that there's one thing that's in common with any covenant, okay? The party of the first part makes an agreement with the party of the second part. So there has to be something common between the two parties. There's a relationship. There's some type of a relationship to make that covenant go forward. And for the blood covenant, I believe that that purpose of the relationship is love, because God so loved the world. Now, you may look at God as the Almighty, the one who created everything that is created, the one who is and is to come, the one who is all-powerful, omnipresent. He's all-knowing. And that's true. He is. You may look at God as he's the creator of man, and you look at it from your perspective of you're the one who's created. You're the man or the woman, mankind, that is created. You're not all-powerful. You're not omnipresent. And because of the fall, we can get sick. We can hurt. We can suffer naturally, physically. We can die a physical death. And some of you may look at it from that perspective. But I would argue that God is much, much more than that. He's the one that loves us so much, he did create us. Amen. I can take you all the way back to Genesis, and he spoke this, he spoke that, he spoke this into existence. He spoke it. And however that happened, his almighty power flying around making everything happen as he spoke it. But when it come to the human person, he said, let us make. And then he formed with the clay. He personally formed man and breathed his breath into them. He didn't speak and say, let there be man. He purposely made us. But that's a different story for a different day. So the truth is, there's much, much more to God. Because he loves us and he wants to bless us. And in fact, he loves us so much, he created a way for us to enter this covenant with him. And by doing so and pressing in on the relationship, you come to a personal, a conscious awareness of God as your heavenly Father. He is that all-powerful being. But he's not that all-powerful being that doesn't care. He does care very much for us. He's not here. He's not some deity that sits off somewhere to condemn us. As a matter of fact, in the scripture we just read, if you look at verse 17, it says Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. So God's not, he's not there to condemn us. He's not there to cause any harm to us. He's not even like our earthly father that can make mistakes. He understands us, and he's very sympathetic to us. He can identify with us because of the birth, the life, the crucifixion of his son, Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus Christ isn't still in a tomb. He's risen, he's alive, he's well, and he sits by God, his right hand today. He's there for us. He knows our hearts, and he knows our very makeup. He knows our mistakes. But yet he still loves us. In spite of all that, he still loves us. I hope this is the God that you know. I do have to apologize just for a quick moment. If for some reason I speak like I'm angry, I have to apologize to my family a lot. I'm mainly my grandson, my oldest grandson, when I talk with him and I have talks like this, I have to stop myself and look at him and say, son, listen, you're not in trouble, and I'm not mad at you. I'm just very passionate about what I'm talking about. So that's what you're hearing, is you're hearing my passion. You're not hearing anger, so just please understand that. And just walk with me down this road. Because again, I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking about y'all. But as I continue to talk to myself, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 9, and we'll look at verses 23 to 24. And God says it this way, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. He exercises loving kindness. He loves us so much. He exercises his loving kindness so much. We can see this in the final instructions that Jesus gives the apostles. And whenever I see final instructions, sometimes I think of a natural father or a grandfather, or let's just say a parent who has a son and daughter. And as they grow up, you try to teach them some things. And sometimes you have to say it over and over and over, right? But then as you teach them some things and you're confident that they're ready to take off to college or move away or go in the military or wherever they're going, even if they're moving across town, you're standing out at the car as it's packed and you're having your final words with them. And some of the things you're saying is like, don't forget to check the oil. Don't run out of gas while you're going down the road. Check your gas gauge. You still remember how to change a tire, okay? You're trying to tell them those final things that you feel is important that's going to help them out at some point in their life. Well, Jesus says, I only say what my Father says. And in the final instructions, if we go to John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And look at the second. Like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And in Luke 6, and starting with verse 27, but I say to you, who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, wow, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do them likewise. These are the final instructions that we were getting from our Father. Because just in the natural, when there's a natural physical separation between parent and children, there is that physical separation between Jesus and the apostles. And he's telling them something that's going to get you through. Some of the things that's the most important thing that they need to know. So loving is more of a Christian lifestyle. If you truly love people, you won't want to kill them. Amen. I heard one amen back there. But if you truly love people, you're not going to want to kill them. You don't want to lie. You don't want to covet their things. You don't want to commit adultery. You're going to keep all the commandments because you love the people. Amen. If you just remember the one thing about loving. You know, I can remember, I can't specifically say I was 3 or 4 years old. I do remember where I was living at certain periods of my life. I know everywhere that I've lived, and I pretty much have an idea how old I was at those places. And I can remember we would have been transitioning from Fort Pierce, Florida, down to Key Largo. I was somewhere around 3 or 4 years old. And I can remember seeing a lady in a wheelchair, her leg was propped up with a cast, pushing herself down the sidewalk. And as I'm standing to you talking, I have the images in my head. I can remember looking at her, and the thought came to me, she doesn't have to be that way. Now, in the mind of a 3 or 4 year old, I can't really say that, you know, she could be healed in the name of Jesus, okay? I mean, at that time, I didn't go to church. But I just knew inside that she didn't have to have that broken leg. I can remember seeing a man with a cane walking around, and I asked my mom, what's he doing? And she says, well, he's blind. He can't see. That's the way he has to go. And I knew inside he didn't have to be that way. Now, granted, I didn't know what to do. Again, I'm 3, 4 years old. And as I continued to grow up in life, I remember seeing people. I had a heart of passion. I cared about people. I didn't want to see people hurt. I didn't want to see people in pain and suffering. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and be all braggadocious, because let me tell you about the other side of that story. I graduated high school, went in the military. And after I went in, I mean, I was law enforcement. I was a military policeman. I became a criminal investigator. And then there was a certain point in my time, I was assigned as a federal agent, and I did polygraph exams. And so for a large part of my career, I interviewed and I talked to people that did bad things. I guarantee you, not one of you in this room can think of a crime that I wasn't either the lead investigator or took a major role in the investigation of the case. I was involved in crimes, every crime known to man. And my daily life was to investigate that and talk to the people involved, the suspects, the bad guys, and bad girls. I became very cynical. I started to get hard-hearted towards people. I really didn't care so much about people. Matter of fact, there's only 3 people in my life at that time that I cared about: my wife, my son, and my daughter. And that included my extended family for various reasons. I just didn't care. I was a nice guy. I mean, come on, in the 6th grade, I was voted most friendly, okay? I mean, I was a nice guy. I tried to be cordial. I had coworkers, but they were just coworkers. Okay? I just didn't care about people anymore. That's a dangerous road to go down, right? How many of you want to stay away from that road? We want to stay away from that road. But, you know, towards the end of my career, I realized that something's not right. You know, when you grow up in a small town, denominational type of a church, and then you leave that after a number of years, particularly when I was the only one in my immediate family growing up before I got married that even went to church, when you grow up in that type of a church, it's just hard to find a church like your home church, right? And then when you go in the military, it's either like a Protestant or a Catholic type of a scenario with chapels. So I just quit going to church, and I believe that that's what part of it was I just quit going to church. I didn't have any more iron to sharpen with, right? My iron was getting dull. So as I continued on, my wife and I realized we're not right. Things aren't right. We need to start getting into church. And that's when we were transitioning from Southern California to Maryland. And the church that we found, she actually found it. She was really concerned because, again, I was Southern Baptist. I grew up, come on, let's be honest, being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is of the devil. It only happened at Pentecost, and it doesn't happen today, right? Okay. But she was Spirit-filled. I didn't know that. We got married in 1987, and in 1999, 2000, I find out she's Spirit-filled. And I'm like, what? This is crazy. But the church we found was a Rhema church, very small Rhema church. I jokingly say it was bring your chair to church. day. That first service, it was within their first year. The first service, there was like 12 people. That included the pastor and his family, me and my family, and like one or two other families. But I played around that creek bank long enough and slipped and fell in because I felt comfortable in the church because of the love that the pastor showed us. And because of that love, I started softening my heart a little bit because of the love that he showed us. You know, I recently learned that in the natural, the only organ in a human body that sort of can heal itself is the liver. I think, you know, my heart got healed. It grew like the Grinch. It grew three sizes too big. But anyway, I learned to soften my heart a little bit. And we were in that church for, what is it? I think we were there for like almost 8 years, 7 years. We were in that church. And then they packed us up and they shipped us off to a place called Rhema, in a place called Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And been there. But, you know, when we came here, one of the classes I sat in is Miss Karen here by chance? I don't want to get her in trouble if she's not, but Miss Karen Jensen Salisbury, she taught the class. And in the very beginning, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And just real quickly, I'm going to go through this and read it. So in 1 Corinthians 13, the first 13 verses, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not reject in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I'm not finished reading the scripture yet, but I think that that's part of loving one another, is we need to put away our childish things. We need to put away, okay, I'm talking about me now, so I need to put away my childish things. I don't need to fuss and complain about people. I need to love on them. Amen? Okay, so let me get back here. For now, we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And as we read that scripture, I've read it before, but what went along with that was a daily confession. Every time we had class, as a class, we made the following confession. And what I'm going to do here in the last few minutes before we close, I still have a little bit to go, but I want to personalize 1 Corinthians 13. And I just want you to repeat after me. I am patient. I am kind. I am not jealous. I am not boastful or conceited. I am not rude or selfish. I do not take offense. I am not resentful. I do not take pleasure in other people's sins. I delight in the truth. I am ready to excuse, to trust, to hope, and to endure whatever comes my way. I never fail or cease to love. So we can see in 1 Corinthians 13, the best way to look at love is a way of life. It has to be a way of life. We can't hold grudges against people. Because if we focus not on ourselves, but we focus on others, and we focus on the good that they do, not focusing on their mistakes. We need to learn to forget the mistakes. You see, Dean Gregorich has been speaking a series the last few times he spoke, and I think the last time he spoke was the Wednesday before Winter Bible, and he said something that sort of pierced my heart, and I put it in here, and I'm going to give you credit tonight, but after that, it's mine. But he said, love gives us the supernatural ability to forget. And as long as we continue to love on people and focus on the good things that they do, now I'm not saying you can't go up and offer some correction, but you got to offer it in love. And Facebook is not a way to offer correction, folks, but that's just me. See, love is about an action. It's how a person lives for the Lord and obeys Him, and how a person lives and serves God by serving and loving others. Love is also a being. You have to let love be the core of you, the center of you. It's the way you live. You got to let love be the core. And I realize that we're all at different levels of our spiritual maturity. And I don't look at that whenever I look at people. Mostly I look at that when I look at myself, because if I see something, I have to correct myself a lot of times. And I have to say, just love people anyway. But this last scripture that I want to read before we close is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Now I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to switch from the New King James, and I'm going to jump over to the Passion Translation, because I like the way this is said. You are always and dearly loved by God, so robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endure to understand others. I want to hold up right there. Be merciful as you understand others. Okay? Because you may be looking at somebody and like, what in the world is going on with that person? Because that's not normal to you. But you know, that person's sitting over there saying, what is going on with that person? Because you're not normal to them. Amen? So where are we at? We're endeavoring to understand others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Forgive one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. So when we were a child, we did childish things, but when we grow up, we put those childish things behind us. We're maturing. And love is the mark of true maturity. And I just want to encourage you not to let your heart get hardened towards people. No matter what goes on, it doesn't matter if they're your coworker, your natural family, your roommate, your classmate in school. It doesn't matter. You just got to let love override the situation. And the last thing I'm going to give as an example is, not only was I reading 1 Corinthians 13, and not only was I making those daily confessions, I didn't make them only in class. I made them outside of the class as well. But after we had gotten here, my work schedule was different than my family's. Thursday and Friday was my days off. and they were working. So I found myself going down to Woodland Hills Mall. And just outside, inside the mall, but in front of JCPenney's was a little large area. There was a coffee shop there. I won't say it was Starbucks, but there was a coffee shop there. Just happened to be called Starbucks. And I would get a coffee or I would get some other drink and I would sit there. And as I sat there, there's this escalator going up to the right. There is the glass, you know, elevator going over here. And people all around, some people sitting. And, you know, some people was walking around and they had tats all over them. For more mature people, that's tattoos. And they had ear piercings, nose piercings, lip piercings. Some people was dressed all goth. That means dressed in black baggy clothing and black eyeshadow and makeup and stuff. I'm certain after sitting in that mall that the reason that God gave us two arms and two hands was one hand was to hold the shopping bag and the other hand was to hold your pants up as you walk. But you know what? I forced myself to sit there and I looked at people and I said, God loves that person, therefore I love that person. God loves that person, therefore I love that person. I don't know how many times in the 2 or 3 hours I would sit there that I would say that. Because red and yellow, black and white, everybody say it with me, we're all precious in his sight. Because we are the children of this world. And folks, I'm here to tell you, roughly speaking, we've heard it several times over this last week, is there's 8 billion people in the world and 2 billion are confessing to be Christians. They're confessing to be Christians. I think that there's a part of that 2 billion plus the other 6 billion that we need to love on. We need to show God's love to them because the more and more that we continue to show God's love to them, the more and more that they're going to be open to hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ come out of your mouth. But if they think that we're nothing but a bunch of hypocritical Christians, they're not going to listen to a word we say. And it's going to drive them further and further away. Amen? So I just encourage you to just continue to love on people, no matter what the situation is, continue to love on people, and God will open up an opportunity for you to share Jesus Christ with them. Amen? So speaking of that, as our prayer team comes forward, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we call that being born again. We call it the new birth. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just because your family calls themselves Christian doesn't mean you're a Christian. In order to be a Christian, you need to verbally say yourself, you need to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to confess your sins to Him and accept Jesus into your heart so you can be born again of the Spirit of God. If that's you in here, if you're not sure if you've ever done that, just be bold and stand up. There's no embarrassment. I did it. And there's several other people that did it. If you have not accepted Jesus for the first time, if you haven't been born again, just stand up, come on down here. Men, come over here to the men. Ladies, please come over to the ladies. If you have been a Christian, if you are a Christian, but you just slipped and fall, you had what I call a hiccup in life, and you need to rededicate your life, you need to get back on track living for God, come on up here as well. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but that's something that you want to do, or if you want to learn more about that, come on down here when we're finished. Again, ladies over here. Men over here. Amen. Listen, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for being patient, even though I'm passionate and not angry. Okay, that's a joke. Are we all clear? Is there anything else that we need to go over tonight? Awesome. Thank you. We're glad that you're here tonight. And I just welcome you to come back out Wednesday at 7 for Hour of Power. And we'll see you. Have a good night.